Guidelines to dating, one of my favorite things in the world. So, guidelines to dating, biblical guidelines to dating. These are pretty much the exact same things that I told you last year because they're that good. You don't have to reinvent the wheel when you already found something that rolls smoothly, okay? First, I got to tell you, these are not your parents' rules. I'm not your parent. I'm not your mom. I'm not your dad. So it doesn't mean these rules are the ones that you have to follow. Your parents probably already have a different set of rules for you. They already probably give you different guidelines on how you date and what you sort of do. This is just an additional reminder of what the Bible, what some of the some points that the Bible helps illuminate, and that's what I'm trying to do for you tonight. I'm trying to illuminate what the Bible may be saying on different points of dating so you can have a perspective of your own that you can build into what your parents have already laid out for you. So everybody in here understands what dating is, right? Like, what's the purpose of dating? Oh, to build a closer relationship with all them girls, you know, that's what everybody does, right? Girls, why do you date?
We don't. Ah.
Okay, hey, here's the definition for dating. The purpose of dating is to help you further investigate whether or not this person is the one you want to spend the rest of your life with. Isn't that like a hardcore definition? That's one of those definitions that are like in your face. This is the purpose of date. You date because you're trying to find your lifelong mate, right? You're trying to find the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. You know, that's kind of what the whole purpose of dating is. Is there a different reason why people date? The snuggle. Yeah. There's definitely some people date just to get some. I mean, that's. Hey, how many of you know people who date just to be able to sleep around with other people? 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, that's the way it is. Dating for the world society is an ability basically to get into somebody else's pants. I love everybody in here watched Duck Dynasty, right? Duck Dynasty, brand new tonight. Watch the show. It is so good. I love it. Two brand new episodes tonight. You know what Phil Robertson, the father says about dating? He says he doesn't trust anybody who dates nowadays. Dating is just an excuse to get into somebody's pants. I love you, girl. Let me in those britches. That's what he said. I mean that's how, isn't that how a lot of people react to dating? I date you, that gives me opportunity, that gives me purpose, that gives me the ability and the right to get into your pants. And that's kind of the way a lot of people view dating today. But that's not how you guys view dating, right? That's not why you date, right? Good. I like the way I get blank, no shakes to the head, right? Good. Very good. So this is the first guideline that I have for you when it comes to dating, is because I want you guys to be successful in your dating. I want to make sure you are not one of those people that are hurt, scarred, who are that absolutely are just rejected and feel awful when it comes to dating by getting hurt, having all those issues that come with improper dating or dating somebody that's not the right match for you. So guideline number one in this is this. Where are you at in life? Where are you at in life? Are you at a place where you can emotionally, financially, or spiritually be able to handle relationship? Guys, how many of you know that dating costs money? Yes. Women will bleed you dry. And if you're not financially ready to be dating somebody, it can be really hard right now. You got to ask your parents all the time, can I have 20 bucks? Can I have 20 bucks? It can be really hard. I mean, money. You have to be financial, but more than that, you have to be emotionally ready. Have you ever tried to date somebody who was emotionally unready to date? Somebody who just went crazy, like jealousy all over, like stalking you constantly, 24/7. Listen, if you're not emotionally ready to handle a relationship, you shouldn't be in a relationship. And secondly, or thirdly, you need to be able to spiritually handle a relationship. Can you date somebody without compromising your faith? Can you date somebody without compromising your spirituality? Can you date somebody without compromising who you are in Christ? If you can say yes, then you're ready to date. Now, this is what Becca said. Becca went like hardcore to like dating, mature dating. She said this for you girls. This is Becca's point of view on this idea. Are you ready to be somebody's wife? Are you secure in who you are in Christ and the gifts and the ability God has placed in you to use them to help support the future of your spouse? You got to be able to be a whole person to be able to complete somebody else. And it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. When it comes to dating somebody for marriage, you need to be a complete person. You have to be whole. You know, the saying, oh, you complete me, blah. I'm not dating somebody that's half a person. Have you ever tried to date somebody that's half a person? You know, left eye, left arm, right arm. That'd be very awkward, right? You're just dating half a person. You know, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You don't go, oh, I'm looking for a half a person, and you're on online dating sites, you're on Facebook saying, I'll date you. Oh, wait, are you half a person? Oh, no. I see a full body here. It does not work. You need to find somebody that's whole and complete in who they are, because you want somebody who's whole and complete to be able to walk with you in life and not have a handicapped person that you have to carry your entire lifetime. Ooh, that's awful, isn't it? And where do I get this from? Song of Solomon 2:7-8:4. Don't awaken love before it's time. I know that you guys experienced love ever since you were 9, 8 years old. You know, you're seeing it in movies, you see it in society, you see it on Facebook, you see it with your friends. You got to be in love. You got to be in love. If you're not in love with somebody, if you're not dating somebody, then you're worthless. You have no value. Nobody wants you. You are a reject if you're not dating. If you haven't done this, if you haven't done that, if you're not doing this with a girl, then you are a reject. You're worthless. And that is just not the case.
That's what the world says.
That is not the case. God says, don't awaken love before it's time, meaning some of you may not be ready to date until you're 25 years old. Some of you may not be able to be ready to date until you're 40 years old. I can tell you right now, I know some people in this room who are dating and they're not even ready to be dating yet. Listen, just because you have hormones, just because you are in high school, just because you're good looking and good looking people come after you, does not mean you are ready to date emotionally and spiritually. Physically, you may be ready. You may be able to physically be ready to date. You know, you can walk, you can run, you can drive, and yeah, you can do all that. But are you emotionally and financially ready? You have to wait until you are ready emotionally, spiritually, and financially before you should start to date somebody. Seriously. Rule number 2 for you. Do not be unyoked with unbelievers. Anybody understand what that means? What does that mean, Zach?
It means you can't date somebody that's not a Christian.
You shouldn't date somebody that's not a Christian. But, you know, I take that a little bit further than that. You need to not date people who are not just Christian, because how many in here know Christian people who say they're Christian, but they definitely don't act Christian? When it says do not be yoked with unbelievers, it also means just because they're saved doesn't mean you need to be dating them. Let's get drastic here for a second, just because I like examples. If you're in church and you're now 21, Taylor, and you go to this church and all of a sudden this beautiful young lady gets saved immediately, and you find out, you know, you've been saved, you've been in the church, you're a leader and all this stuff. This young girl, she gets saved immediately, and she's spiritually immature. Should you date her right away?
Negative.
You need to date people who are not only just Christian, You need to date people who are at the same level spiritually as you are. You need to find somebody who's at this, has the same beliefs as you do, who has the same values as you do. You know how difficult it is to date somebody who doesn't believe what you believe? Yeah. Woo-hoo! That gets really ugly really quick. If they believe smoking and drinking is good and you don't believe in that kind of stuff, you're going to have a lot of friction. If they think cussing's good and you don't, you're going to have a lot of friction. If they think beating their child's good and you don't think beating your child's good, there's a lot of friction. Just because they're hot, just because they're good looking, just because they're rich, doesn't mean you date them. That's just the way it is. 2 Corinthians 6:14, 15 says this, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can be there between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever?" Women, Becca, if she was here, she would say this, "Two oxen at different strengths won't accomplish much. They'll just walk around in circles." Have you ever seen a weak horse and a strong horse tied together pulling the same carriage? What normally happens?
One goes straight, one goes left.
And all you do is you walk around in a circle. Have you ever had a flat tire?
Or rowing. Like a one-legged duck.
Right into a circle. Or rowing. You have one paddle and the other guy doesn't paddle. What do? You go in a circle. You need to find somebody that you just don't, that just isn't a Christian. You need to find somebody who's at the same spiritual level as you are and believes the same things that you do and is heading in the same direction as you are. You need to find somebody. You guys are Pentecostals. If you believe in speaking in tongues and you speak in tongues, you need to find a man who speaks in tongues, who prays, who fasts just like you do. If you don't do any of those things, but that's where you want to be, you need to find somebody who wants to be there too. You need to find somebody that's at the same spiritual level and is going the same spiritual direction that you are going. Simple enough, right? Here's my value rule number 3. Get God's opinion on the matter. Does anybody think God's opinion matters in situations of life? Yeah, it matters. What about dating? His opinion matters in dating? I think so. Psalms 44:21 says this, that God knows the secrets of your heart, which means God knows everything that's inside of you. God knows everything that you need, everything that you want, and everything that you will ever need or want in your life. If God is okay with the relationship, guess what? You're happy, happy, happy.
Not crappy.
But if God's not okay with it, then you're going to be crabby, crabby, crabby.
Goodness.
Why? Because if God knows what's best for you, if God doesn't sign off on it, then how can you be successful in it? How can you be successful in it? God knows what's best for you, and if you're afraid to ask God if you should date somebody, guess what? You probably shouldn't be dating them. Or here's this. This is my favorite thing. I'll ask, if I ask you, did you pray about it and get God's opinion on it? And you say, yeah. I'll be like, how do you know that was the voice of God? I don't know. If you don't know God's voice in your life in any other area but dating this hot chick, guess what? You probably did not hear the voice of God. If you can only hear God's voice when it comes to who you should date, oh, that guy is so hot. I'll pray about it. Heavenly Father, if you don't want me to date him, take this desire for his hot pecs and six packs just to like go away. Amen. Oh my goodness, I still am so attracted to him. God must be telling me I should date him. Oh, no. Girl, guys, if you're like, Heavenly Father, she's so cute. I love it when she wears those skinny jeans, Lord. If she wears those skinny jeans and that favorite top of mine to school within like the next 2 weeks, then I know I'm supposed to date her. What? Listen, if you can't figure out God's voice for your life in any other area except for when it comes to dating, boys, pay attention. If you can't figure it out in any other point of your life except for dating, guess what? You probably are not hearing God's voice, and you need to get to yourself because you are not spiritually ready to date. You're not spiritually ready to date. And here's another good thing. If you don't know if you're getting God's opinion or not, get some godly people around you. Ask me. Ask Becca. Ask pastor. You know, ask your parents. You know, if you have somebody spiritually mature at a different spiritual level than you, you need to ask them and ask for their counseling and say, you know, is this a good match for me or not? Somebody who knows you, where you want to go, and those sort of things. Find those people. Find a mentor. Ask them. Get their opinion and have them help you pray until you get an answer whether you should date that person or not. Point number four. If it gets physical, then you need to get physical. Flee temptation. Flee temptation. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee sexual immorality. Here's a scenario for you. You're driving home from a movie. You're a girl, or whether you're a girl or a guy, you and your boyfriend or girlfriend are driving home from a movie. It was a really good movie. It was a chick flick. Yeah, because guys, you'll pay to go to watch chick flicks if you start dating for the rest of your life after you start dating. It's a sad thing when you have to pay for those things. But you'll have to pay for a chick flick, and you had an amazing night, and you're wondering to yourself, oh, I got to take her home now. I got to take him. He's going to take me home. I wonder how this is going to end. I wonder if it's going to be like that movie where we passionately kiss on the porch. The guy's thinking, oh, man. I hope I get to hold her real close. I wonder if that's how it's going to end tonight. And you're beginning to think how it's going to end tonight. And so you get into the car. The guy gets in the driver's seat. The girl gets in the passenger seat. You're driving down the road. You hear a little bit of music. Put on a little mood music. You know, I'll make love to you like you want me to. And the guy reaches over to me. Reaches over and puts his hand on the girl's thigh. What do you do?
Please.
You're slapping, Caleb. Haley, what would you do? Boys, you're the one that put your hand on the girl's thigh. What are you thinking? The girl. Okay. Okay. What if the girl
just starts screaming?
I'm dead to that. That's right. You start screaming, I am dead to that. I am dead to that. That's what you start yelling. Hold on. Girls, you're the one that puts your hand onto his thigh. Boys, what do you do?
Slam on brakes and go to the front with you.
Woo. What? Hey, your mind might be telling you no, but your body may be screaming, oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know. What do you do? What do you do in that situation? Well, here's some practical things. Simply say, I don't think so. Roll down the windows. Get some cool air in there to warm down your hot and heavy bodies. Turn the radio on to some Christian worship music. It's hard to be touching somebody when you got Jesus on the other line listening to you. You know what I'm saying? You know, have them stop and pull over and just walk or call somebody. Be like, that's my best friend to call. Call somebody. Get out of the situation. Change the situation. God wants you to save it. Listen, sex is great. Sex is amazing. And all that goes along with sex. There's nothing wrong with it. If you're a Christian, you should have the best sex. Christians should have the best sex, period. You know why? Because the Bible said when Adam and Eve were naked. Listen, you guys are laughing and giggling now because this topic makes you nervous. You know why? Because it's shameful. In the wrong context, sex is shameful. When Adam and Eve were naked, the Bible says when before they sinned, they were naked and not ashamed. When you're with your wife and naked with your wife, guess what? You don't have to be ashamed, Will. You don't have to giggle and laugh and be like, oh, you're naked. This is I should be naked too. There is no shame in it. But when you're outside of marriage and you're having sex and you're seeing your girlfriend or boyfriend naked outside of sex, there is a shame. There's this intense feeling of shame and self-worth that just disappears. I mean, you become shameful. Your self-worth goes down. It's not a shameful. For Christians, you should have the best sex, but it has to be in the right context. And if you save it for marriage, I'm telling you, it is great. Listen to a guy who did not save sex for marriage, who struggled all the way up with pornography, with all those sort of things, all the way up until age of 26. Now that I'm married, and those issues are still issues that you constantly fight for the rest of your life. Images, memories don't go away. And for those people who say, oh, yeah, I remember the time where I did so-and-so and such and this, they may be bragging to look cooler and more popular, but in their back of their heads, when they're alone, it is a miserable thing to think about when you're married to somebody else and you're thinking about somebody else. The only person I ever want to think about is my wife. Becca's hot. She is gorgeous. And it hurts me, it upsets me, it brings pain to me when I'm with my wife and all of a sudden imagery from another girl pops into my mind. It drives me nuts. So all those guys who say, oh yeah, it's all good, yeah, I slept with so-and-so, I saw so-and-so naked, I watch porn, I do all of this kind of stuff, and they think they're cool or more mature because of all that, wrong. They're going to have problems and issues that they have to face with the rest of their lives when they come to an issue where they get married and they try to be monogamous in that relationship. It's very difficult. Very difficult. Girls, guys' hormones go crazy all the time. For a guy, sleeping with a girl at the moment can be something that's very unemotional. Guys just are, you know, Just think about one thing, you know. Don't lose your purity to a guy who doesn't care about you in the long run. Don't do it to yourself. Don't live with those scars. Don't live with those painful memories when a guy runs out on you after a week after you give yourself up. Don't waste your time and energy on guys who haven't committed to you anything. Unless there's a ring on it and they said, I do, don't lose your purity because it just leaves lasting scars, girls. It really does. Really, really does. My last point for tonight. Oh, no, this is next to last point. I'm sorry. Point number 5. Guard your or her heart. Real men guard the heart of a woman. Girls, if you're mature, you'll guard your own heart. Proverbs 4:23 says this. Keep and guard your heart with all diligence. And above all else, guard your heart. For out of it flows the springs of life. If your heart is broken, how hard is it to live life? If your heart has scars on it, how hard is it to live life? If your leg was broken and in a cast, could you run 100 meters? It'd be difficult. If you had 2 broken legs, could you swim? It'd be difficult. If you were blinded in both eyes, could you drive your car? No. When your body, just like it is physical, when you have limitations, when you have hurts, when you have pains, it prevents you from able to live your life in completeness. The same thing happens with your heart. When your heart becomes broken, when your heart becomes scarred, when your heart becomes fragile, it does not function in a way God intended it to function. Guys, guard that girl's heart. It's not yours. It's not yours until you put a ring on it. It's not your job to woo her and to cuddle up with her and steal all these memories and dreams with her just to shatter her after you get what you want. Girls, don't let guys do that to you. Guard your heart. Unless he puts a ring on it, don't believe anything that he tells you. Don't believe anything he tells you until he puts a ring on it and he solidifies his commitment to you. God wants you to guard your heart. So that when you do finally get married, you can give your whole heart to somebody. And you can live your life without regrets. You can live your life without hurt. You can live your life and your marriage without pain or distractions. Because you have a whole heart. You don't have memories of past things where people tried to hurt you and screw you over. And you have to bring that into another relationship. Oh, I can't trust you because so-and-so did this to me and so-and-so did that to me. Well, I'm not so-and-so. But you're just like them. You're a guy and blah, blah, blah. And guys would be like, "You don't talk to my friend. What's wrong with you? My last girlfriend talked to my friend and she ran off with him. You're leaving me just like them." You know, guard your heart. Last thing. I promise. This one's your last thing.
Are you sure?
Once you know the answer, stop. If you're dating a girl and you know that's not the one you want to marry, stop dating her. Don't use her and abuse her and get rid of her when you find somebody else. When you know, hey, that's not the girl I want to be with the rest of my life, okay, end it. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with her. Be upfront with her and say, hey, this is the way it's going. I don't know if we'll ever be friends again, but I know that you're not the one for me, and so we're just going to end it here right now. Girls, once you know that guy's not the right one for you, end it. Don't hope that he'll get better. Don't hope he'll change. Don't hope that he'll finally meet his potential. If you know that he's not the right one for you, you got to cut it off, guard your heart, and wait for God to bring somebody else along to you. Philippians 4:6 says this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." I'm not saying you have to be an emotional robot, but learn that it's not always about emotions. It's about faith. It's about trusting in God. If you really want it, guess what? God really wants to give it to you too. And if you wait on him and you pray about it and you seek his face and get his opinion, you wait till you're spiritually mature, financially secure, all of these sort of things, guess what? It will come to you and it'll be the best thing that has ever happened to you. Ever happened to you.